Can I borrow your pen, please?
You can't borrow my pen. There you go.
It's a fancy one.
It is a fancy one. Well, it isn't. It's just a normal biro, but in drag, it's sort of got sort of fancy shell.
But the exterior is good. Good weight.
I don't judge my pen by how it looks.
No, you've got to judge it by how it flows. Yeah, and you know you want one that flows but not smudges.
Yeah,
that's the dream.
Yeah,
are we on? Hello, and welcome to the list of absolutely everything that might kill you, a comprehensive compilation of the seemingly innocuous everyday items that are secretly plotting your downfall.
We will provide you with the tools you need to survive the unexpected dangers lying in wait at work, during your commute, and even in the comfort of your own home.
I'm Matt Edmondson.
I'm Adam Kay, and this week we are pitting another two potentially deadly items against each other.
And I'll be here as usual. My name is Professor Jennifer Fisser-Rogers, and I'm the resident statistician for the list of absolutely everything that might kill you.
No! So, come on then, join us, put on your high-vis, fasten your seatbelt, and most importantly,
keep your arms and legs inside the podcast at all times.
I'm ready. Is it pens that we're doing today then? Have you brought pens in?
I didn't go for pens.
I bet they're deadly though.
Oh, there'll be some idiot who stuck one through his larynx, won't there?
Yeah. Well, I saw it in a Jason Bourne movie. And if that doesn't tell the truth, I don't know what does.
Oh no, you save lives using pens, don't you?
Yes.
You do that.
Yeah, what is it? It's like you clear an airway with a pen.
You do.
I don't think I'd be confident enough to try it, Adam. I think if you were choking...
You don't want to do it in the wrong scenario.
Exactly. It's
If it could be cleared with a cough, yeah. You don't want to have your bick in someone's neck.
Heimlich, then bick. Yeah. I think that's the order you do them in.
You remember the word for it when you do that?
Chubuk? Is that it? No.
Tracheostomy.
A tracheostomy, that's the one. I can never remember my various ostomies.
Yeah, well, trachee is neck.
Good to know, but irrelevant because we're talking about something else, aren't we? What have you got this week?
Oh, I've got what I think is a surprising but good contender.
Okay, I panicked with mine, and I, as ever, did some quite late homework, and I'm worried that it will be a low scorer, but you never know.
So I've gone big with drum roll. I said drum.
I mean, I haven't got a drum kit, but I can do it with my hands.
Yeah.
I should warn you, I've got quite bad rhythm.
That's great.
I was happy with that.
Fireworks.
I can't do those. This one's a Catherine wheel.
It's killed someone.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking for fireworks after the drum roll. Yours is actually
fireworks. No, I'm doing fireworks.
Okay, yeah. How do you feel about fireworks?
If you ask that question to my dog, Pip, the answer would be, I really hate fireworks and they make me cry.
You're not a talking dog. That's incredible. Tell me more.
Okay. If you ask that...
Imagine if your dog actually went...
go and do an impression.
I was going to ask...
Is he going to go Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. I was going to say, my dog has... My dog sounds like that. Hello, Matt. How you doing? That's what my dog sounds like. Does your dog have a voice?
No. Because
does your husband do a voice for the dog?
Neither of us do a voice for the dog.
Although, can I ask a question? Another question?
Yes.
Do you refer to yourself as daddy when talking about the dog?
No.
You don't. You don't see yourself as the adoptive father of that dog. So what would if that dog could talk? What would it call it? Would it call you Adam? Because that feels very impersonal.
I think I'd be flattering myself to think that she knew who the hell I was.
You're the dog's primary carer.
I'm the waiter.
Right.
I think that's about
it. Okay, garçon she'd call
it. She's an Airedale terrier, so she'd have a North Yorkshire accent.
Lovely.
But beyond that, I'm not really sure.
Fair dues. But she doesn't like the fireworks. My dog doesn't like fireworks either.
No.
What's your policy when the fireworks happen with the dog?
Oh, well.
Right, okay.
We tried playing classical music.
Yes.
But that didn't seem to make any difference.
But it's very hard to learn the violin. That's the problem. You mean off a speaker?
No, we taught the dog how to play the violin.
Yeah, incredible.
To distract her from the fire.
She's very good at playing Bach.
Oh, yeah, that
now,
works.
Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Come on, that does work.
Yeah, it really works.
Pop that
Not
on.
Not quite enough for a laugh.
But listen, we'll get there.
Not anymore.
Yes, fireworks. My dog doesn't like them. We have a policy that if it's fireworks night or there are fireworks happening, for example, New Year's Eve, whatever, but the policy is that Oscar, the dog, a West Highland Terrier, if you
So a Scottish accent should be.
He would, yes, but he lives in London, doesn't he?
Oh, that's where he went to school. Yeah, okay.
He would have a South East London accent, I think. Lada, hello.
Okay.
The policy is he comes up into our bed. My wife doesn't like him sleeping in the bed, but when it's fireworks, up he comes. I love it.
Right. On top of the duvet or under the duvet?
Wherever he so chooses.
That's disgusting.
I like it when he comes under the duvet. Do you know what we call it? We call it a sausage sandwich.
Matt, I've known you for a long time. I'm just going to say this. I'd like you to listen back through this episode and then decide whether you want any of this to go out, because you're coming across really, really weird.
No, other people, I'm sure other dog owners will have experienced
everyone's tutting at their
Sometimes,
podcast delivery medium.
If it's just me on my own, it's just sausage on toast.
So fireworks.
Yes.
It was fireworks not long ago, a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
Depending on when you're listening to this, but never more than 11 months away.
Yeah, so sometime in the last 11 months, it was bonfire night, and we had two friends with their children come over, and we thought, with apologies to Pip, we will put some fireworks on before they go to bed. The thing that arrived was what a council would have for a medium-sized municipal display.
Incredible.
It was, I couldn't carry the box on my own. My friend had to help take it down to the bottom of the garden. So we had to dig a trench that the box sat in. We lit it and it went on it's only just stopped going off.
And was it just one fuse that you had to light?
One fuse, yeah.
And then it sort of staggered out its performance.
It sorted it out.
Ah, incredible.
We had a bad one. This was not a death, thankfully, but it could have been. As a child, my beloved grandmother was at a little home display. The angle of the rocket wasn't perpendicular to the ground.
She wasn't strictly at 90 degrees.
Wasn't the full 90. In fact, it was, as it turns out, aimed directly at my grandmother.
Oh, no.
Who, in fairness to her, just watched The Matrix and managed to do the
incredible
the leaning bullet backwards time thing. So it just skimmed past her. Unfortunately, she didn't then do the getting back up bit.
Right.
She did the crashing to the ground moment, and we thought that's a hip.
Yeah.
But we got away with it.
So is that what inspired your selection? Because it didn't kill her. Did it make her stronger?
It didn't make her stronger. No.
Okay. I'll check. Well, I hope your grandma's okay if she's still alive.
No, she's not. But it wasn't the firework.
It wasn't the firework. Well, thank heavens for that. So come on then, fireworks. I mean, they do feel dangerous, because it feels like they should be more tightly governed.
They should be totally banned because what they're doing is they're selling.
Says the man who literally had to dig a trench for the ones he bought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously not at my house, because that was great fun. But like the way that if alcohol was invented today, we would be like, no, that's clearly a class A drug.
Yes.
It's addictive and it kills this many people. Cigarettes, you know, there's no chance that if that was a new thing would come up. I would like to think that if someone went on Dragon's Den so it's gunpowder, like the stuff that explodes. Yeah. But not loads of it.
Yeah. Look at this kitchen roll tube. I'm going to stuff some gunpowder into it and light it really near to some children.
Wearing protective equipment, I presume.
No, absolutely not. No, I'll be wearing some highly flammable shorts, because it's my dad in the 80s.
But you'll be doing it like hundreds and hundreds of meters away from where the people are watching, won't you?
No, I'll be running right up to it and I'll be using a tiny box of matches.
You'll be doing it in your own garden. I'm afraid I'm out.
Yeah.
That is never getting made today, fireworks.
I think Deborah
it?
Meadham might invest, but she has a darkness to her.
Well, but also, she knows that people like explosions.
She does.
She's only human.
Exactly. That's why she's so captivating on the show.
She.
They call the human firecracker of the den, they call her.
So I think a lot of these deaths are going to come from firework factories.
Definitely.
Rather than just from people's home displays. I did my Google. My extensive library-based research.
I saw you exiting the British Library with lots of tomes.
Exactly. And after that, a quick Google just to check that those tomes were right. There's, if you put in firework factory explosion, there's something like 15 trillion results. Basically, there's no fireworks factory that hasn't at some time really, really badly exploded.
Are they all in the same district? Because if one goes off, you're going to have a domino effect.
1998, Brazil, 64 dead.
Oh, dear. That's really bad.
That's very bad.
I was wondering if it was going to get entertaining, but no, that's just really sad.
1996, China, 129 dead.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They should ban fireworks. No, and we don't need them that badly.
Or at least ban the factories. Just use the ones that grow naturally.
Exactly. Organic fireworks. I've been saying it for years. What is the closest thing in nature to a firework? Fire. There you go. It's fire.
Right. Do you want some disasters?
Well, I tell you what, that was a nice respite from all the deaths, but carry on.
I didn't look up really positive firework stories.
Mm. That's fine. The nature of the podcast is we're looking for people who've been offed by a firework.
I have been tasked with coming up with an extremely fatal thing. Mm. And that, unfortunately, there's, you know, if we're making this particular firework omelette, we've got to explode some factories.
I'm now trying to think if there's a factory that I'd want to work in less than a firework factory.
There are some videos of fireworks factories exploding. And if you ignore the almost inevitable human cost, it's a pretty, as you can imagine, amazing display. Do you know fireworks are only legal on certain days of the year?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So they're normally, they're subject to the normal noise laws.
Yes.
Like you couldn't, you know, blast your stereo at midnight.
Well, you could, but you get into some
trouble.
So
the rules are you can't make noise between 11 and 7.
Right.
But they've given special dispensation for four nights of the year.
Oh, so that's going to be Diwali.
Diwali, yeah.
Fireworks night, bonfire night.
Bonfire night, yeah.
Halloween.
No.
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 Oh, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, yeah.
What's the fourth one?
Where do fireworks come from originally?
Oh, Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year.
Yes.
So that you've got special dispensation for those. But any other night
of the year? How does one apply for special dispensation? Could I put a request in for my birthday, do you think?
I think so. I imagine it's an act of parliament. Do you know any MPs?
I sadly don't.
Just write to your own MP.
Hmm. Okay, so factories have wiped out lots of people. What about individual deaths?
I mean, this is a lot worse death-wise, but also a long time ago, so it doesn't matter as much.
Right. Is that the rule we're going with?
I think so.
Okay. How long ago?
We're talking 1770.
Oh, I'm fine with it. Carry on.
Okay, fine. So, and also, France. It's not even anyone you know. So this is a royal wedding.
Right.
The Dauphin.
Uh-huh.
Potatoes.
Yeah. Yep. Creamy potatoes.
He was getting married, needs to have a big fireworks display.
To the Wah family, right? They hyphenated.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I got it. Got it eventually. They decided that if, you know, Adam Kay is having a medium-sized municipal council display just for...
Two friends.
He needs to go much bigger than that because this is a royal wedding.
Yeah.
So put on... I don't know the numbers. I'm going to say 58 billion fireworks.
A lot.
The number of deaths varies according to the source you listen to.
Okay.
The palace declared 133 deaths. But the historians think that they went at the low end and it was probably many thousands.
Oh, my goodness. It makes Game of Thrones look like Married at First Sight.
Unless people die in Married at First Sight. I've not seen it.
They don't.
Okay, fine.
No, they don't.
In that case, that works absolutely perfectly.
I was trying to think of anything else that had weddings in it, and that's the only thing that came to mind. I mean, that does sound disastrous.
What I'm saying is I'm feeling pretty confident that...
Can I just say, by the way, I wouldn't ban fireworks.
Oh.
Because to get rid of fireworks means that we lose the greatest pop song ever written. Katy Perry Firework.
That's a very good song.
It's a fantastic song. So good. If it's, you know it's good when Dermot O'Leary can walk onto an instrumental of it on the X Factor. Dum, 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 dum. I'm doing Firework. Dum.
Oh yeah,
dum,
okay, fine.
Dum, dum, dum. Welcome, welcome to the X Factor, everybody. He does his little spin.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, but it's an incredible song.
The good news for the producers there is that is so far from being identifiable as Katy Perry's
How
Fireworks that they're not going to have to pay anyone any money for the
How
license.
How dare you?
It could have been anything. Dum, 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 dum.
Listen, when you listen back to this, you're going to find you've embarrassed yourself because I think I was totally pitch
perfect. I'm not listening to this. Right. Okay. Shall we call in the jury?
Yep.
Let's hear what the verdict is. Jen, over to you.
So Fireworks, as you might expect, are no stranger to causing injury. There were 11,500 firework-related injuries in the US alone last year, or 4.7 for every 100,000 people. But when it comes to causing your death, well, there's less risk. In fact, it's as low as 1 in 27 million, or 0.037 micromorts.
Ah, that's...
It's okay.
I mean, I'm pleased for the people who live.
Yeah.
But...
1 in 27 million? I thought it'd be a lot more than that.
I did as
well.
That's
low, Adam.
Yeah.
1 in 27 million.
Particularly with 1,000 people turning up at A&E.
Yeah.
Every single one of them a time waster.
Well, they might be maimed or injured.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
In fact, you wouldn't turn up at A&E if you were dead.
No, that's true. Oh, it depends. I mean...
You know better than I would.
I mean, you'd have a bash. In fact, you're meant to do CPR unless like the head's off or something.
Quick biro in the neck, boom. No, it's the third. Remember, it's the third thing you do: cough, Heimlich, biro.
That's the famous ABC, isn't it?
Exactly.
They're always talking about
CHB. That's the, remember the acronym, kids.
How you do it?
Cough, Heimlich, biro.
Right.
What right, you're on my mind.
I do.
Right, I'm so worried about this. I don't think it'll be 1 in 27 million. I've gone for... When I say killer, you say...
Shark.
When I say killer, you say...
Whale.
When I say killer, you say...
I don't know.
Bees, you say bees.
Do I say bees?
Killer bees, killer bees, killer bees.
Killer bees.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you seen the movie My Girl? Probably not. It was released in 1992.
I've seen the movie My Girl. It was tragic.
It's very sad.
So sad. All those poor bees who died.
Some bees did die because they stung poor Macaulay Culkin, who also died.
Less bothered about.
Less sad that bees. But the bees died. Yeah, famously when bees sting you, of course, they pop their own clogs.
Is that true?
That's true.
That's actually true.
Yeah. So if they sting something that's kind of like another insect, fine.
Do they do that?
Yeah, they
sting an ant.
Yeah, of course they'd use it to defend themselves amongst other members of the insect world.
Right.
But if they sting human skin, we are a little bit thick-skinned. Although I'm not when it comes to some of the Twitter comments I receive. Humans are too thick-skinned, so that when they puncture the skin, they can't separate themselves
right.
without ripping their guts out. Basically, their abdomen comes with the sting.
So was it worth it?
Well, ask the bee.
So hang on. Are you claiming the bees in your number for how fatal bees are? Are you saying
no,
it kills...
No, I'm not
it
saying...
Kills 30 million bees a year or something.
No, I think we are keeping this to humans.
To humans, deaths. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Because you've been pretty fast and loose with the rules so far in this.
I mean,
this podcast calling mountaineering a sport. And
look, I think regardless, let's take a moment's silence for the fallen bees.
So I've got a fairly high pain threshold.
How do you know?
Just like the way Superman knows.
Right.
Well, stuff that's masonry falling on me just sort of bounces off my head.
You sort of casually leaning against an electric fence.
Yeah.
But this whole thing.
Wouldn't notice it. So previously I've not noticed when I've broken an ankle.
No.
I've thought it was a sprain. I've walked around on a broken ankle for quite a while before. I just don't, for whatever reason, my faulty neurons don't generally sort of send the alarm bells to my brain. And yeah, okay. It's not great.
Are you like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable?
There is a medical condition, I've forgotten what it is, and I might have made it up, where people don't feel pain.
Yes, I've heard about that, yeah.
And it's really, really, really dangerous. And people have a really short life expectancy because they don't get the... They don't notice that they're sort of... They're leaning on a fire or something.
Yeah, they'll like rest their hand on a hob.
Yeah, so that's... So it's not that. But actually, in general, it's fine. But, and as a result, when I've been stung by bees before, it's just been like... And sort of, there's a sort of slightly itchy thing on your arm for a day. So I've never been particularly worried about bees. The normal dog walk that I take the much mentioned in this episode dog on.
Don't call your dog normal, but carry on.
The walk we go on takes us past a bee house.
Do you mean a hive?
Yes, I think I do.
I mean, when you say house...
Well, there's lots of... It's not... It's like lots of sort of big vertical things with fuckloads of bees in them.
Did the bees build it?
No, they didn't.
It's man-made.
It's man-made. And I don't know.
Okay.
There's carpentry. I don't know how what bee skill set extends
to. In that case, it's probably an Airbnb. No?
No, I think so.
I'm actually tempted to laugh at that one myself.
Okay, go for it.
No,
fill
the
gap.
I can't.
Fill the gap.
I can't.
So there's this structure where I presume they've got them for honey rather than for their pelt or something. So there's loads of bees in this sort of farm just off the road, and they're all sort of bzz, bzz, bzz. And James, my husband's always like, no, walk to the other side of the road. And I'm just like, it's only bees. So I'm walking the dog, and there's some bees come over as they do, and then one went into my ear.
Oh my god.
And I'm not normally flappy, but there's a fucking bee in my ear.
It's buzzing.
And it's buzzing. It's the loudest sound you've ever heard. It's the pneumatic drill level sound. And so I sort of shake my head and I do it. And it stings my ear.
Which bit?
I don't know enough ear anatomy to describe it, but we're in the ear. Not in the canal bit, but just I'm pointing sort of there. And it was sore, and my ear swelled up to five times the size of the other ear, and it was bright, bright red. I don't know if the blood supply's bad to the ear or something, but all of the toxins were just sort of swilling around in the same place. My ear looked ridiculous. It didn't look like a human ear.
How long did that last for?
I know that it lasted more than 3 days, because 3 days later, I had to do a photo shoot for a newspaper. And I was like, can I wear a hat?
Yeah.
So
they're like, have you got a good side? Have I?
And so there's a lot of side-on pictures accompanying that particular article.
If you ever see photos of Adam on the internet, he's always shown on profile.
But I didn't die.
No.
But I think you may have accidentally pulled a blinder here.
Well, maybe.
Because obviously lots of people are allergic to bees, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They can go into anaphylactic shock, can't they?
Can, yes.
That's what happened in My Girl, famously.
Yeah, that documentary about Macaulay Culkin.
That's right. Very sad. I mean, it pretty much did kill his career.
I think he outgrew himself. So that has to be... Because I know... I can think off the top of my head of four people who were allergic to bee stings.
Name them.
I can't actually break their medical confidentiality. How dare you ask me to do that?
Oh, my goodness me. It's in those circumstances. I don't want you to break the Hippocratic Oath for this podcast. So, yes, an allergic reaction could take place. Anaphylaxis are signs and symptoms. I don't know why I'm telling you this. You know all this already. But they include and are not limited to hives, not just beehives, just regular hives, difficulty breathing, swelling of the throat and tongue, dizziness, and in the most extreme cases, a loss of consciousness.
I would say that's not the most extreme case.
No,
I would say
right.
The most extreme case is loss of life.
Death, that would be up there.
So it just, whatever, I know that sounded extremely natural, but whatever website you just wrote that down off, I think might need updating.
Here's the question. How many bees do you think you could get stung by before, and this is without you having a bee allergy, you died?
It probably depends on your age and size.
Yep. So I can tell you, that per pound of body weight, the human body can withstand roughly 10 stings.
Okay. So for you, that's like 30 stings.
Not many stings, yeah.
No.
I'm a wisp of a man.
Okay, so something bad has happened if you're getting stung that many times.
Well, it has happened to people. So it's 1,100 stings before...
For an average typical adult.
Yes, yeah. Before your kidneys shut down as they try and rid their body of damaged cell tissue.
I would say if I'd just been stung by 1,100 bees, I would be grateful for the sweet release of death.
Do you think so?
I think so. Yeah. I think at that point, 1,000, after sting 900, I'm like, right, take me. I'm cooked.
Imagine at sting 1,099, you'd be pleading with a bee to sting you. Finish me!
It has to,
Finish me! End this!
But think of the size of you by that time. That's every inch of your body's been stung by something. You've been stung in the eyes. You've been stung in your liver. This is awful.
Yes.
I know what it's like to have one sting you in the ear. You know, for 1,000 other people, you've probably had 20 in the ear minimum.
Yeah.
Each year.
Exactly.
In the mouth, your tongue.
Oh, everywhere.
You've had 15 on your tongue, 30 on your cock. This is game over.
Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking if the human body could stand 1,100 stings before anything truly bad happens, we might have just found something to replace Celebrity Cyclone on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, yeah.
Dean Gaffney into a Perspex box.
Only 800 bees, perfectly safe number.
800 bees. And we just really riled them up beforehand.
Yeah, just shake the box a bit.
Exactly, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. By the way, sidebar, 1/3 of all the food we consume depends on pollinators like bees.
Go on then.
Actually, if you're the honey. If you're the honey monster.
Okay, I'll go first. Honey. You go next.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 1/3 of all foods.
Yeah, blackberries, because they need to be pollinated.
Oh, shit. So you're including all.
All plant based.
All plants.
Food. Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me that 1/3 of food is plants? Is that your big fact?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Fine. Okay, we'll take
there
it.
There you go. So, yeah, fine. You know, thanks to the bees for that.
Bees do honey. Wasps do Marmite, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, they do Marmite and Lurpak Spreadable.
Oh, yeah.
Those are their ones, yeah.
Okay. And you're not including wasps in bees. I know you like to cheat in this game. Okay.
That's ridiculous. They're two totally different. It's like comparing dogs and cats.
Is it really?
No, I don't think so.
It's like comparing wasps and bees.
But I think
they look pretty much the same.
I think it's frowned upon in the insect community. You will get cancelled by the bees if you say one looks like a wasp. That's all I'm saying.
No!
You know, you were saying about the begging for death at 1,100.
Yes.
Things. It happened for real. Obviously, the majority, I should say, of bee-related deaths, single stings caused by the anaphylaxis, the allergy.
The immune system overreacting.
Yeah.
And so that's why people carry their EpiPens.
Mm.
So, you know, because you never know when a bee's going to be around. So
exactly.
That's your thing, EpiPen, and hopefully that's you
sorted.
That's
right,
you sorted. Dropping your figures nice and low.
I don't think there's an EpiPen big enough for this guy. He was called Alex. He was on a hike in the Azari Mountain Park in Arizona in Texas. And he was there.
And was everything fine?
Everything's fine. He's there with a friend. Yeah, so his friend Sonia manages to get away. She goes and hides in a restroom. But poor Alex, not so lucky, because they check on him later on. He's lying on the ground and he was trapped in, it's described as a thick cloud of bees. And the park employees have to get to the scene and they can't get close to him because the swarm's too aggressive. So they have to get the firefighters in. And he was loaded onto a park vehicle, driven away from the scene. But he sadly died later in hospital, having suffered over 1,000 bee stings.
So I feel that we should offer some advice,
right,
to our listeners about
to how the bees to, or to the humans?
To the human listeners.
Sure.
The bee listeners can go fuck themselves.
Okay.
The human listeners. So obviously, number one, stay inside at all times.
Yes. Never leave your house. That's a policy which I am trying to instill in my life. And so far, apart from having to come out and do this podcast, I've been very successful at it. No, here's some advice. Genuinely, if you are attacked by bees, firstly, if a bee bumps into you...
Apologise.
Say sorry. Even if it was the bee's fault, still say sorry. But it probably wasn't an accident. because if a colony of bees sense a predator, their first response is to send some sentries out to sort of investigate, and they'll basically try and headbutt you.
And so, hang on. So if you then kill that bee, they'll be like, where's Jeremy? No, and they're going to send 20,000 mates.
It releases pheromones that say, there's some beef going on over here. I need some bee backup.
Yeah.
And the rest will
plan
come.
Plan B.
Plan B. And that's when the swarmer comes.
Yeah.
Running will be probably your first instinct. That's a good instinct. Run. Get out of there.
Because we're faster than bees, aren't we?
We're faster than, well, depends how fast the bee is and how slow you are.
Okay, I'm quite slow.
He's quite fast.
Okay.
Yeah. But do run anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's good for your cardiovascular health.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm more likely to make it on ITU afterwards.
Exactly.
My heart's had that bit more work.
And this is an odd one. Hold your breath.
Right.
Not now.
While I'm running. How's that going to work?
No, stop, then hold your breath.
Okay.
So the majority of insects take location cues from the smells they pick up in the air. And so...
most of my smell isn't coming from my breath.
Well,
I can think of about 10 other things on me that smell worse than my breath.
Well, if you can hold your breath for between 10 seconds and a minute, they might leave you alone. Key information, bee information, don't flail or swat them.
Well, you need to listen to yourself there because you're
I'm a
self-confessed flailer.
I'm like one of those things that you find at a car garage that they pump air into.
Oh, in America, with the wobbly hands.
Yeah, like that. Also, avoid wearing purple, violet, or blue.
Hang on. If a bee's come up to you, that's not very helpful.
Mm.
Avoid wearing purple.
Sorry, that was just... I'm just trying to position myself as the new Tan France. That's nothing to do with the bees.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. No, it is.
It just looks really bad on you.
It is, yeah.
Whoever you are.
Exactly. Those colours are so last year. No, they apparently they don't like them. They are colours which bees...
They read that as fuck bees.
So wear light colours. Muted tones.
Okay, so a pastel.
A pastel, a beige, a cream, a top, a taupe.
Presumably avoid tops with like flowers on.
Yeah, probably. It's going to really fuck my plans for Woodstock, but I'll probably just go topless again.
Okay, that's useful information. How many people ignore your advice and end up, as a result, becoming yet another bee statistic?
Death by bee. Jennifer?
Well, interestingly, bee stings, much like fireworks, are much more likely to cause injury than death. But which is worse? A UK study found that death from bee stings was as low as 1 in 16 million adults, or a micromort score of 0.06, putting it just slightly higher on our list.
Well, would you look at that? I cannot believe it. I can believe it, because yet again, my prediction was correct.
It was. A real sting in the tail.
I imagine... there's now going to be quite a buzz around this podcast and how well I'm doing.
Yeah, that's 3-0. This is horrible.
I'm sorry.
You're not. So anyway, I mean, you put up a very strong argument and more importantly, you were correct.
Yeah, you can't argue with the facts. Well, you can actually. I don't know if you've been on Twitter, but you can.
You can argue with the facts, yeah. that's Twitter's slogan.
Fun.
You can argue with the facts.
It's
welcome
fantastic
to Twitter.
Fun, yeah.
There we all have it.
So there you go. Another couple of things to add to the list of everything that might kill you. And, bees are further up the list. If you've had a near-death experience with something that you're keen to share with us, we would love to hear from you.
If it's also hilarious, we don't want
if
it's pneumonia.
No, not so good.
It needs to have that sort of light banter aspect to it.
Yeah, keep it light, guys. Come
like
on.
A clown or something.
Exactly. Yeah, you bought shoes that were too big because you're a clown. You tripped over something. Thankfully,
classic.
Your red nose protected your face.
Thank you for listening, if you still are. And join us next week as we add two more items to the sacred list.
The List of Absolutely Everything That Might Kill You is a podcast from Podimo and What's the Story Sounds. It's presented by me, Matt Edmondson.
And me, Adam Kay. The episodes are researched and produced by Jack O'Kennedy. Executive producers for Podimo are Jake Chudnow and Matt White. And for What's the Story Sounds, it's Daryl Brown and Sophie Ellis.